Topic 87, Initiation. 1. A man who has taken the first step into the spiritual kingdom, having passed out of the definitely human kingdom into the superhuman. He has entered upon the life of the spirit and for the first time has the right to be called a spiritual man in the technical significance of the word. He is entering upon the fifth or final stage in our present fivefold evolution. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 10. 2. Each initiation marks the passing of a pupil in the Hall of Wisdom into a higher class, marks the clear shining forth of the inner fire and the transition from one point of polarization to another, entails the realization of an increasing unity with all that lives and the essential oneness of the self with all selves. It results in a horizon that continually enlarges until it includes the sphere of creation. It is a growing capacity to see and hear on all planes. It is an increased consciousness of God's plan for the world and an increased ability to enter into those plans and to further them. It is the honor class in the Master's school, and it is within the attainment of those souls whose karma permits and whose efforts suffice to fulfill the aim. Initiation leads to the mount where vision can be had, a vision of the eternal now, wherein past, present, and future exist as one. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 13. 3. Initiation leads to the stream that, once entered, sweeps a man onward until it carries him to the feet of the Lord of the world, to the feet of his Father in heaven, to the feet of the threefold Logos. It leads through the Hall of Wisdom and puts into a man's hands the key to all information, systemic and cosmic, in graduated sequence. It reveals the hidden mystery that lies at the heart of the solar system. It leads from one state of consciousness to another. As each stage is entered, the horizon enlarges, the vista extends, and the comprehension includes more and more until the expansion reaches a point where the self embraces all selves, including all that is moving and unmoving, as phrased by an ancient scripture. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 14. 4. This ceremony of initiation marks a point of attainment. It does not bring about attainment, as is so often the misconception. It simply marks the recognition, by the watching teachers of the race, of a definite point in evolution reached by the pupil, and gives two things. 1. An expansion of consciousness that admits the personality into the wisdom attained by the ego, and in the higher initiations into the consciousness of the monad. 2. A brief period of enlightenment wherein the initiate sees that portion of the path that lies ahead to be trodden, and wherein he shares consciously in the great plan of evolution. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 15. 5. Initiation is a strictly personal matter with a universal application. It rests upon his inner attainment. The initiate will know for himself when the event occurs and needs no one to tell him of it. It is quite possible for men to be functioning on the physical plane and to be actively employed in world service, who have no recollection of having undergone the initiatory process, yet who, nevertheless, may have taken the first or second initiation in a previous or earlier life. A man may be better able to work off certain karma and to carry out certain work for the lodge if he is free from occult occupation and mystic introspection during the period of any one earth life. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 102. 6. He has to equip also his mental body so that it may be the explainer and transmitter and not the hindering factor as now. He must likewise develop group activity and learn to work in a coordinated manner with other units. These are the main things that a man must accomplish along the path of initiation. But when he has worked at them, he will find the way. It will be made clear to him, and he will then join the ranks of the knowers. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 178. 7. Initiation is in the nature of a great experiment which our planetary logos is making during this round. In earlier and perhaps in later rounds, the whole process will follow natural law. The whole process is optional, and a man may, if he so choose, follow the normal process and take eons of time to effect what some are choosing to do in a briefer period through a self-chosen forcing process. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 829. 8. The partial subjugation of glamour and escape from the complete thraldom of illusion are indications to the watching hierarchy that a man is ready for the process of initiation. From Glamour, A World Problem, page 126. 9. The mark of the initiate is his lack of interest in himself, in his own unfoldment, and his personal fate, and all aspirants who become accepted disciples have to master the technique of disinterestedness. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 1, Esoteric Psychology 1, page XXI. 10. Initiation might be defined in two ways. It is first of all the entering into a new and wider dimensional world by the expansion of a man's consciousness so that he can include and encompass that which he now excludes and from which he normally separates himself in his thinking and acts. It is secondly the entering into man of those energies which are distinctive of the soul and of the soul alone, the forces of intelligent love and of spiritual will. These are dynamic energies, and they actuate all who are liberated souls. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 12. 11. The concept which has to supersede the one at present extent is that of group initiation, and not that of the initiation of an individual aspirant. In the past, and in order to get the idea of initiation into the minds of the people, the hierarchy chose the mode, now obsolete, of holding out the prospect of initiation before the earnest disciple. Upon this, they placed an early emphasis of its specialty, its rewarding nature, its ritual and ceremonies, and its place in the scale of evolution. Since the fact of initiation had been grasped by many and achieved by some, it has become possible today to reveal what has always been implied, that initiation is a group event. If clear thinking had taken the place of a selfish individual aspiration, the fact of group initiation would have been obvious, and for the following reasons inherent and implied in the whole situation. 1. The soul, in its own nature, is group conscious, and has no individual ambitions or individual interests, and is not at all interested in the aims of its personality. It is the soul which is the initiate. Initiation is a process whereby the spiritual man within the personality becomes aware of himself as the soul, with soul powers, soul relationships, and soul purpose. The moment a man realizes this, even in a small measure, it is the group of which he is conscious. 2. Only the man whose sense of identity is beginning to expand and become inclusive can, quote, take initiation, unquote, as it is erroneously termed. If initiation were a purely personal achievement, it would throw the man back into the separative consciousness out of which he is endeavoring to escape. This would not be spiritual progression. Every step upon the path of initiation increases group recognition. Initiation is essentially an expanding series of inclusive recognitions. 3. Initiation admits the aspirant into membership in the hierarchy. This involves, speaking esoterically, the relinquishing of all separative personality reactions in a series of progressive renunciations. These culminate in the fourth initiation. It dawns on the initiate as he proceeds from one initiation to another that each time he moves forward on the path or penetrates into the heart of the mysteries in company with those who are as he is, who share with him the same point in evolution, and who are working with him towards the same goal, that he is not alone, that it is a joint effort that is being made. This is, in fact, the keynote of an ashram, conditioning its formation. It is composed of disciples and initiates at various stages of initiate unfoldment who have arrived at their point of ashramic consciousness together and who will proceed together until they arrive at that complete liberation which comes when the cosmic physical plane drops below the threshold of consciousness or of sensitive awareness and no longer holds any point of interest for the initiate. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 341 through 342. 12. No one is admitted through the process of initiation into the ashram of the Christ, the hierarchy, until such time as he is beginning to think and live in terms of group relationships and group activities. Some well-meaning aspirants interpret the group idea as the instruction to them that they should make an effort to form groups, their own group or groups. This is not the idea as it is presented in the Aquarian Age, so close today. It was the mode of approach during the Piscean Age, now past. Today, the entire approach is totally different. No man today is expected to stand at the center of his little world and work to become a focal point for a group. His task now is to discover the group of aspirants with which he should affiliate himself and with whom he must travel upon the path of initiation, a very different matter and a far more difficult one. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 344. 13. An ashram has in it disciples and initiates at all points of evolutionary development and of all grades and degrees. These all work together in perfect unison, and yet within their differentiated ranks, for each degree stands alone, yet united with all the others, with their own established rapport, their coded telepathic interplay, and a shared occult secrecy and silence which guard the secrets and knowledges of one grade from another and from the unready. Similarly, when an aspirant, seeking upon the physical plane to find those who will share with him the mystery of his next immediate step or demonstrated expansion, discovers his own group, he will find that it has in it those who have not reached his particular point of wisdom, and those also who have already left him far behind. He will be drawn into a vortex of force and a field of service simultaneously. Ponder on this statement. He will learn, therefore, the lessons required by one who is to work in an ashram, and who will know how to handle himself with those who may not yet share with him the secrets which he already knows, and with those who have penetrated deeper into the mysteries than he has. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 346. 14. Initiation has been so frequently presented as being a ceremony that I have felt it necessary to offset strenuously that erroneous significance. If, however, you are to comprehend that which I have to say, you will have to call in what measures of enlightened understanding you may possess. Initiation is only a ceremony insofar that there comes a climaxing point in the initiatory process in which the disciple's consciousness becomes dramatically aware of the personnel of the hierarchy and his own possession in relation to it. This relation he symbolizes to himself, successively and on an increasingly large scale, as a great rhythmic ceremonial of progressive revelation in which he, as a candidate, is the center of the hierarchical stage. I am not here saying that the teachings given in the past by various occult groups, or in my book, Initiation Human and Solar, are not correct, or do not recount accurately what the candidate believes has taken place. The point I seek to make is that the ceremonial aspect is due to the thought-form-making capacity of the disciple. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 530 through 531. 15. The initiatory process is in reality the result of the activity of three energies. 1. The energy generated by the disciple as he seeks to serve humanity. 2. The energy made available to the disciple as he succeeds in building the Antahkarana. 3. The energy of the hierarchical ashram into which he is being absorbed or integrated. It is in these three energies, each with its own mode of expression and each producing its own specific results, which implement or engineer the initiatory process. These energies are evoked by the disciple himself, and their increasing strength and revelatory capacity depend largely upon the disciple's determination, purpose, and will, his persistence and spiritual integrity. It is through his understanding of the word process that the disciple discovers the true meaning of the occult statement that before a man can tread the path, he must become that path himself. Increasingly, the disciple finds what it is to become a creative agent, using the creative faculties of the mind and conforming increasingly as he creates to the plan of the Creator, the Lord of the world. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 534 through 535. 16. Periods of search, periods of pain, periods of detachment, periods of revelation producing points of fusion, points of tension, and points of energy projection. Such is the story of the path of initiation. Initiation is in truth the name given to the revelation of the new vision which ever draws the disciple onward into greater light. It is not something conferred upon him or given to him. It is a process of light recognition and of light utilization in order to enter into ever clearer light. Progress from a dimly lighted area in the divine manifestation into one of supernal glory is the story of the path of evolution. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 538. 17. It is the recognition of the varying lights upon the lighted way that signifies readiness for initiation. The initiate enters into light in a special sense. It permeates his nature according to his development at any point in time and space. It enables him to contact and see the hitherto unseen, and on the basis of the newly acquired knowledge, to direct his steps still further. I am not here speaking in symbols. Each initiation dims the light already acquired and used, and then immerses the initiate in a higher light. Each initiation enables the disciple to perceive an area of divine consciousness hitherto unknown, but which, when the disciple has familiarized himself with it and with its unique phenomena, vibratory quality, and interrelations, becomes for him a normal field of experience and activity. Thus, if I may so express it, the worlds of living forms and formless lives become his own. Again, duality enters into his mental perception, for he is now aware of the lighted area from which he comes to the point of tension or of initiation. Through the initiatory process, he discovers a new and more brilliantly lighted area into which he may now enter. This involves no leaving of the former field of activity in which he has worked and lived. It simply means that new fields of responsibility and of opportunity confront him, because he is, through his own effort, able to see more light, to walk in greater light, to prove more adequately than heretofore his capacities within the greatly increased area of possibility. Initiation is, therefore, a constant fusion of the lights, progressively entered, thus enabling the initiate to see further, deeper, and more inclusively. From a treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 539 through 540. 18. Initiation is a growth in experience and the attainment thereby of a point of tension. Holding that point of tension, the initiate sees that which lies ahead. Initiation permits a progressive entry into the mind of the creating Logos. This last definition is perhaps one of the most important I have ever given. Ponder on my words. As energy is the basis of our entire manifested world, an initiation is a condition of consciousness wherein the fully prepared disciple utilizes the available energies at the time of initiation to bring about changes within consciousness of a momentous and revelatory nature. Each initiation puts the initiate in a position to control certain related energies and enables him to become increasingly a trained manipulator of those energies. Each initiation gives him understanding of the related energy and of its field of activity. Each initiation reveals to him the quality and the type of stimulation to be evoked when brought into contact with any particular ray energy. Each initiation establishes relationship between the initiate and the ray energy involved, so that gradually, no matter what may be his soul ray or his personality ray, he can work with the quality and the creative aspect of all the rays, though ever retaining a greater facility to work on his own soul ray and later with the ray of the monad, one of the three major rays of aspect. From a treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 557 through 558. 19. Many who read these instructions and who study the books I have written are in process of preparation for one or other of the initiations, and the entire theme should therefore be of major interest to you. You should decide, at least tentatively, which initiation lies ahead of you, and then discover all you possibly can about it and its prerequisites, endeavoring to make practical application of the imparted information. Either that which I give to you is true, or it is not. If true, it is vital to your future progress, and you should aim at achieving a measure of real understanding. From a treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 669. 20. Initiation is not really the curious mixture of self-satisfied attainment, ceremonial, and hierarchical recognition as portrayed by the major occult groups. It is far more a process of excessively hard work, during which process the initiate becomes what he is. This may entail hierarchical recognition, but not in the form usually pictured. The initiate finds himself in the company of those who have preceded him, and he is not rejected, but is seen and noted, and then put to work. It is also a graded series of liberations, resulting in the attainment of increased freedom from that which lies behind in his experience. This carries with it the permission, soul enjoined or given, to proceed further on the way. These freedoms are the result of detachment, dispassion, and discrimination. At the same time, discipline enforces and makes possible the hard work required to pass the grade. All these four techniques, for that is what they are preceded by a series of disillusionments which, when realized and comprehended, leave the aspirant no choice but to move forward into greater light. I would like to have you study initiation from the angle of liberation, looking upon it as a process of strenuously attained freedoms. This basic aspect of initiation, when realized by the initiate, ties his experience into a firm relation with that of the whole of humanity, whose fundamental struggle is the attainment of that freedom, quote, whereby the soul and its powers can unfold, and all men be free because of an individually attained freedom, unquote. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 685. 21. The initiate, on his tiny scale, likewise has to learn to work behind the scenes, unknown and unrecognized and unacclaimed. He must sacrifice his identity in the identity of the ashram and its workers, and later in the identity of his working disciples out in the world of daily life. He institutes the needed activities and brings about the required changes, but he receives no reward save the reward of souls salvaged, lives rebuilt, and humanity led onward upon the path of return. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 288. See also the topic Teachings on Initiation, and also see Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, pages 243 through 439.